Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey there, Ruby fans. Welcome back to the Ruby After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. On this week's Rooster Teeth Reviews, we are talking about Volume 6, Episode 4, So That's How It Is. We're going to be breaking down the episode, and guys, it's going to be a lot of fun. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Is this a doo-wop trio
doo-wop,
bopper?
Doo-wop, 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 doo-wop. We are a group of backup dancers. We kind of are.
What an interesting... It's never mind.
I don't think I can effectively backup dance without knocking over my water, and... If I do that again, they put a punch on my punch card, and if I hit 10 punches, I'm out, so I can't.
Ah, I see. I do love that idea of, like, Ruby backup dancers, though. Like, we should look into that.
There's gotta be fan animators who have done that.
Well, especially because it's a part of the band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I like that. Hey there, Ruby fans. Welcome back to the Ruby After Show. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving after our show last week. Let's not waste any time. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Mark Donica.
Half the people didn't even know we pre-taped it. It was great.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Mark Donica.
To his left, Katie Cullen.
How do they know we're not pre-taping it right now?
Ooh.
Yes, I agree with your points. Member of chat. See?
Well, just dub over. It'll be great.
Yeah. Can we do that? Okay.
Absolutely.
We'll fix it in post.
Sadly, Stacey Shuttleworth could not be here with us tonight, but guys, go ahead and tweet her your well wishes. We love her. We miss her. Hopefully, she'll be back for the next show. And I'm Megan Salinas. Guys, we are also going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag RTReviews. We want to hear your guys' thoughts on the episode we're covering tonight. So that's how it is. And Katie and Mark have you guys covered on the live chat as well. So, yeah, let's go ahead and dig into it. Mark, what did you think of this episode?
I thought that there was a lot of... It's hard to follow up a double-length episode where they tell you everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we got a couple of peppery goodness in here. Is it the best episode ever? I mean, that's hard because there's a long list already. So it was a good come-down episode. But it's also hard to go back to 13 minutes after we have a full television length.
For sure. Katie?
Chat, please quit pressing F for Stacey. I promise you she's not dead.
I promise, all right?
We have all paid our respects.
Thank you.
She is sick, though. She works with kids. So yeah. She's a lot more prone to disease.
Yep. Yeah, this was a really good follow-up episode to what we had last week. And... you have to think of them as individual episodes and also as how is this going to flow after when the DVD movie comes out. And I think this is a very solid follow-up. It's a little bit of come down from that. It's reactions to seeing what the hell happened with the world. And it's also seeing our soundly beaten crew of villains showing back up to Salem and giving a status report. So... it's good to kind of come down after that one. I think if we'd had another 26-minute episode, I would have died.
Yeah, for me, it all comes back to the pacing of the season as a whole. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly how the next story beat that follows once you get a giant lore dump like that. Mm-hmm. So it makes perfect sense that this episode was structured in the way that it was. And speaking of the fact that we're talking about this episode, guys, we are adhering to community guidelines for Rooster Teeth. So we are only talking about episode 4 for this season. We know that, you know, be respectful to the people who haven't had a chance to see the next episode yet. Because it hasn't been publicly released. Mm. Be cool. No spoilers in the live chat. No spoilers in the hashtag. No spoilers in the YouTube comments. Be cool. Pretty, pretty please.
And we say this as people who got spoiled for that episode over social media.
So
this one?
Not
the next one.
That's not cool.
It's
not cool in any TV show. And I know I can't speak because I don't watch normal television. I watch cartoons and wrestling. But when it comes to live television, for some reason, everybody tags the hosts live on the East Coast, which doesn't necessarily work for internet. But it's a similar thing of, hey, if you want these people to have cool reactions, let them watch.
I can't count the number of times Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was spoiled for me during its first couple seasons.
Yeah,
it's rough. It was enough to make me want to just, like, excommunicate my phone for a couple hours.
Yeah, and I ran into a spoilery gift set on Tumblr for this episode, and it's not out to the public yet, guys, so you should maybe not be posting those.
Yeah, that's rough.
Generally speaking.
But that being said, our crew is normally really cool. Oh, so yeah. Keep up the great work, you guys. We love you, and we thank you for being courteous.
Speaking of which, we have a new person in the fold. We have Imagination Circus Productions, because of an exclamation point, who's joining us for the first yep. time in life.
What a fun username. That's so cool. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to the show.
Sorry, Malachroma. Sipping the tea.
But feel free to call out people in chat. That doesn't mean we're going to call them out on air.
But that's none of our business.
You know, for the iTunes that's listeners there.
That's good podcasting. So let's go ahead.
Bruce Willis is Vegeta's father.
What?
That's my favorite non-spoiler in the chat right now.
I wanted to see that Broly movie, too.
He's playing Vegeta Sr.? Dang it. Actually, I would totally watch a movie where Bruce Willis played King Vegeta. I would watch that.
I think Chris Sabat would just die.
So anyway, let's bring it back to this episode. Our crew of villains finally comes home to Mom, who, now that we know Salem's full story, I look at her a little differently now, but that doesn't change the fact of where she's at in our story. Mm-hmm. She's still our big bad. She's still this big menacing figure who, if you want to stay alive in her presence, maybe be careful what you say around her. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Mark, what did you think of our villains coming home and having to sort of explain why they did a bad thing to Mom?
Oh, we got Tyrion back. Yes! It's been a while. It's, especially after experiencing the entire season marathon of Yuri on Ice, coming back like full turn to Tyrion to Josh was pretty remarkable. Hasn't missed a beat. I missed Hazel. Like I know that he was. I want to know how they sort of got away the in between stories, stuff like that. And also, it's just been a while since I've seen the finale of that season. But I'm happy to see everybody back. I love the single episode arc that they gave Emerald, because when she came back just like, oh, whatever, we're fine, and just very quickly like boom, just dropped into being the most terrified, being the scared little girl that Cinder knew that she was and took advantage of. But this, I think, will also be a turn for her, and I wonder how Mercury is taking it. Yeah, this was the meatiest part of the whole episode.
Oh, absolutely. In terms of them getting away, I think we got a snippet of that during the Adam short way back when. It was mostly from his point of view because he was, I don't remember, up a tree or something, listening to them leave him behind. Whatever. But yeah, we got a little bit of that. What I want to know is how they got that airship. I want to see the piracy involved in that. Seeing Tyrion back was great in that. So he's one of those characters where, on one hand, I will not be sad when he dies. I really just want to watch that man get wrecked. But on the other hand, he is a terrifying amount of fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to have a character that balances both of those extremes, because that's a very difficult balance. And he does it so well. And I mean, Josh knocks it out of the park, mm-hmm. of course. And I think if anyone's going to betray Salem, it's going to be Emerald.
Oh, yeah, we've been saying that for seasons.
Oh, yeah. Did we have a fun comment in the chat?
We lost Cinder. They have the relic. Ozpin is alive and proms tomorrow. That's Charles Hockenberry. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
It got pinched.
Bless you.
Oh, that's the best. That is the best synopsis I've ever heard.
And prom's tomorrow.
Well, we have a Scorpion Man, not a Spider-Man, but that's pretty close.
Oh, that's fabulous. I need that fanfic. Holy cow. So, yeah, I have to agree with you guys. It's so, so nice to see Tyrion again, which is such a weird thing to say.
And even Watts.
Yeah. I missed them a lot last season. Mm. Last season we got to see more of Hazel, and it was nice to get him fleshed out a little bit. But Chris Sabat is just a gift to the world in general. So any bit of him that we get in this series is always a treat. But yeah, Tyrion just knocked it out of the park in this episode. Josh, you wouldn't think of it like when you watch Attack on Titan and or Yuri on Ice, but holy cow, he like, I think contender for best evil laugh, for sure.
He goes from cinnamon roll to cyanide so easily. It's terrifying.
I wouldn't say it's like a Joker laugh. It's like a creeper laugh. Yes. Like the creeper. Big fan.
Wait, like the DC Universe creeper?
Yes.
Oh, yellow-skinned wacky man. But yeah. I prefer the creeper. That creeper. Oh, man.
Yeah, that creeper. Where it's just, it's unsettling, like there's a lot. Yeah,
there's just a certain level of unhinged.
They're very close. The Joker laugh and the creeper laugh are very close, but the creeper laugh is a little bit more like, even that creeps the Joker out, you know. So there's something to it
where you're just like, you're a certain level of crazy.
Yeah, can you stop? Like, and sort of a thing.
He starts getting under Emerald's skin, and so yeah, sure enough, she turns around and threatens him, and I think he does just about the most batshit thing we've done in this series so far, which is he comes up to her and purposely cuts himself on her blades just to make a point, or maybe because he enjoys it.
Someone in chat called it kitty rubbing her blades.
Like, you know, cats rub their faces on things to claim them. Yeah. And he's like, this is mine now. Ow.
What, like, next he's going to be, like, making biscuits on corpses? Like... Like, what?
I mean, he has those giant claws, so yes, he would be making biscuits.
It's going to be slow, and then it's going to get faster and faster, and he's just going to pummel somebody until they're goop.
He's got...
I mean, yeah.
We did see that. He's got the new scorpion tail. I mean, I'm sure if he asked Watts, Watts could hook him up with claw hands.
And I mean, he's got that little metal tip on the end of his tail. Well, I'm saying, hypothetically, I want to know what Swiss Army knife insanity they have at the end of that.
Exactly where I was going to go with that, too. Swiss Army tail. just whatever, he's going to end up with a toothpick and laugh it off. Something. I don't know.
Just but... swapping out extensions?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm down.
We're doing it.
Guys, leave in the comment section below what sort of
Oh, that's right. He did do that. Sorry.
What type of multi-purpose items you would want Tyrion's tail to turn into?
Tweezers.
That would be useful.
Bottle opener?
Ooh.
That's a big bottle, though. No. A regular bottle-sized...
See, he would use a big bottle opener as a person opener.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
When all you have is a bottle opener, all your problems are bottles.
It made me look at this character, because he's always been unhinged, he's always been a fanatic, but I looked at this moment and I was like, he's the type of character who would be overjoyed to show up in a Hellraiser movie. And I'm like, that says a lot to me about how little I want to mess with him.
He would either become a Cenobite or terrify them.
No, he wouldn't.
No.
I think he'd show up, he'd just see a fight and join in, and people go, whose side do you want? They're like, I don't care! Like,
mine!
Just beat everybody up.
But, so yeah, after Tyrion gets reintroduced in it, yeah, what I like about this moment, too, is it reinforces how out of her depth Emerald really is. She was in this whole thing for Cinder. Mm-hmm. And we saw that, you know, a couple seasons ago in Volume 4, you know, she and Mercury kind of absolutely, like, fell to the background because they were just in so completely over their heads. They were there for Cinder. They were there because Cinder recruited them. And now that she's not there anymore, they really only have each other. And how much investment they have in Salem's evil scheme, I feel like they're going to be doing a lot of self-reflection very soon. Mm.
I feel like it's one thing when it's petty crimes and beating up students and whatnot, and it's a whole other thing when you are doing the apocalypse with a horrifying immortal woman with temper issues. Like, yeah, out of the frying pan and into the volcano.
Yeah, I think Mercury is in a lot more of a place of, oh, kill them all, sure. Just from the way that we were shown his backstory and everything like that, he seems a lot more okay with the idea. Whereas Mercury was, like you said, in it for affection. Maybe not necessarily love, but for somebody who actually cares about her.
Yeah. But what I kind of like about this moment, too, is that Mercury goes over to sort of rescue her from this situation. Mm. And it makes me go, you know, a couple seasons ago, he was taunting her as she was pickpocketing people. And he was just generally annoying her. And here in this moment, he's actually there oddly supporting her. Do you think that they're going to continue to lean on each other as they're in this overwhelming situation?
I think Mercury's going to overstep where he thinks Emerald lies in the situation, mm-hmm. which could possibly be the final push of Emerald leaving.
What do you think, Katie?
I do think that they will be supporting each other a little more because, again, they were from the petty crime side of things, and now Cinder was their bridge to this, and Cinder is gone, so it's the two of them in way the hell over their heads. Mercury might be handling it better, but he's still more on Emerald's wavelength than, I want to say, anyone else's.
Or at least in her corner. I would hope so, anyway. But yeah, so they have to tell the story to Mom, who Jen Taylor's performance as Salem is just a joy. Like, when she said, let me rephrase the question, it was just such a fantastic delivery.
Somebody in chat put it the best. Let me find it. Fia. Boy.
I mean, you're not wrong.
No.
So I did want to, for one, this moment for me really cemented how much I really like the complexity of Hazel, mm-hmm. As a character. You know, he's in it for selfish reasons because he hates Ospen, but you know that, like, he doesn't like hurting people if he doesn't have to. Mm-hmm. And so him standing up and saying, I take full responsibility, I really appreciated that from him as a character. But that's not what Salem wanted to hear. And we get an actual table flip.
And if you notice, she flipped it towards Tyrion as opposed to Watts, because Watts was actually sitting in his chair and Tyrion was perched on it like a homicidal flying monkey. So, of course, Tyrion could get out of the way a little easier. So it's like, all right, I don't really want to kill either of my lieutenants. This one!
And if you notice, that's a sturdy table. I'm sure that's
solid stone. Solid stone. And she still yeeted it like it was nobody's damn business. That was Stoic the Dragon Eater, who says that she's the queen of yeeting tables. I'm excited to see all of the memification of some of this stuff. Just, it's going to be very good.
ELS Gaming has already put the table flip emote in chat, and that is one of my favorites.
Yep.
Just one of my favorites.
It's also, like, that table did not bend or break in any capacity. Like, I feel like she's flipped this table before. Like, she got furniture for the express purpose of being able to thrash it around at a moment's notice. Mm-hmm.
It needs to be the right aesthetic, and it needs to be sturdy.
Oh, God, could you imagine her walking into, like, a furniture store and being like, too light. Oh, no, hold on. Too heavy.
To the remnant IKEA. Yeah.
American Furniture Warehouse.
That one. Yeah. Or like the nice one with like the ivory elephants or whatever.
Oh,
like,
nice.
Or the fake ivory elephants. Just flipping all the really nice stuff and the big couches.
And they're like, I mean, are you going to pay for all of those?
But they can't ask her that because Tyrion's the kid who's just like, oh, shiny stuff. Just running around. Yeah.
Tyrion, go way to the food court. I do want to say, though, it's important to point out in this moment that the thing that she uses to attack Hazel, though, are the creepy shadow grim hands that we've seen in the opening. Mm. I thought they were a metaphor.
I mean, so did I? And were, then they weren't.
Were they the? Did the Squidly Grim have grabbies like that?
No,
or no,
okay. No. They had a couple little spear things and a lot of tentacles. Right.
Yeah, it was more tentacly. These are full on shadow hands, I think. Yeah. But yeah, I totally thought they were a metaphor in the opening. No, as we can see now, that was very, very literal.
They're the same as Cinder's new arm.
And as we discovered with the opening from last volume, and as Melachroma puts it, nothing is a metaphor in the openings. Because this was the episode where we got Salem shouting.
Yeah.
That is in the opening.
Yeah.
We're almost out of stuff that we've seen in the opening.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah.
They're really good at giving us all the really exciting stuff from the opening in the first, like, third of the season. So that afterwards, like, well, the opening can't really spoil you, so, good luck, guys. You're flying blind.
I know a couple anime that could take a few notes from that.
SAO.
You got some more tea to sip there?
I'm running low.
She's got a carafe.
But, you know, Salem sees through Hazel's misguided attempt to sort of take responsibility. And so she basically uses this moment as a way to sort of be like, okay, everybody, admit it. We all know whose fault this actually was. And she makes Mercury say it.
Emerald.
Oh, sorry. She makes Emerald say it. The one person who, you know, means the world to Emerald. She, you know, Cinder means the world to her. And she pinpoints Emerald and goes, I want you to say whose fault this was.
But Hazel being a good dad.
Yeah.
Like, no, it was me. No. Dice on me.
Good dad, good commanding officer. Mm-hmm. Like, if I hadn't already pegged Emerald for the, oh yeah, no, she's going to know about, I'd be pegging him.
But then it was also more of, as you mentioned earlier, that not wanting anybody to get hurt. We've seen the damage that he can take. How many beatings do you think he's gotten from Salem already? And he's like, I can take it. I'm not going to subject these kids to that.
That's actually a very important thing to keep in mind is that, you know, she could, as much damage as she can do, he's actually not going to feel it.
He's my favorite toy. I can just keep beating him up.
Oh, jeez.
The last toy that I had kind of kept dying. So.
And now someone else is playing with it.
Right?
It's my toy. Oh, jeez. Between her and Tyrion, jeez. Yeah. There's a lot that's not okay going on.
I mean, why do you think Tyrion loves her so dang much?
Because she flips tables onto him.
I mean, yeah, he's kind of into that.
All right, we're going to move on from that.
Not a good
What are you into? Furniture violence.
So.
Yep.
In this, you know, to sort of cap things off, Mercury and Emerald find out that Cinder is, in fact, alive, and that it's Salem's decree that she's going to toil in her isolation until she learns a lesson. Wow, doesn't that sound familiar and slightly hypocritical, Salem?
Some more tea.
But again, that's none of my business.
I mean, that's all of our business. That's literally what we're here to talk about.
I didn't notice that it was actually tea.
Yeah, it is.
That's pretty great.
It's pretty good tea, too. But anyway, so yeah, it's kind of ironic that she's letting Cinder toil in her isolation and wander around until she learns some ambiguous lesson.
I learned it from you, Dad!
Yeah.
Well, Dad, and also God.
It makes sense because she views herself as the god of this world now because the gods packed up and left. So it makes sense that she'd be like, yes, this is my decree. This is what gods do.
Nick Roski says, do as I say, not as I do.
True story.
And Nick Kelly saying, so many hands from the dark abyss. Okay, note has been checked. Salem can literally drag you to the painful, shadowy abyss. Why couldn't Papa Schnee be in Hazel's place? Give it time.
She does know that they're heading to Atlas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And speaking of, she knows that they're heading to Atlas.
With Oz.
In addition to the prom. Yeah. I will be honest, I was not expecting such an emotional reaction from her finding out that Ozpin was back in the equation so soon, because they've been playing this sort of eternal stalemate chess game for eons now. Like, I would think that, like, she's sort of used to these sorts of setbacks, but maybe this is just the closest she's ever been in a long time.
And even then, it doesn't seem like they're that close. So I agree, it does seem like a bit of an overreaction. Like, I half expected everybody leave the room, and then she composed herself and had a little bit more of an aside as opposed to just such a strong emotional reaction. However, we got to make the intro come true.
Yeah.
So we got to have it.
Well, there's also... Oh, go ahead.
Well, and we were talking about this a little bit when we watched this episode. All of the other incarnations of Oz that we've seen have been adults. Oscar is a kid. So I was wondering if there wasn't usually more of a lapse between when he goes and when he comes back. If there's usually more of a delay, if there are years in between instead of weeks, months maybe. And if maybe Oscar was always going to be the one, but it wasn't supposed to be for another 5-10 years down the line.
Well,
he's not ripe yet.
We got, I remember somebody saying, like, this soon. I think Crow might have said it.
Yeah.
So we got that kind of a verbal confirmation. And also, Hazel didn't say, it's a boy. Just said, just that Ospin is with them.
Yeah.
But it seems to have always been a guy.
Congratulations,
because
Salem, it's a boy.
The daddy didn't say it was a boy.
I feel like the God of Light has been, yeah, that's, it's already pretty horrifying, but then that just, yeah. Yeah, that, yeah. Oh. There, yeah. I have no way to actually put this into words. I'm not adept enough at the language, but that just, it would be really weird to be a girl and have a guy in the back of your head. Just like a completely separate entity.
It would be very odd.
So I feel like the God of Light is a dick, but at least he didn't mess that bit up.
And thank you everybody in chat who was checking that it was, well, actually, people are saying Tyrion, people are saying Lionheart, and people are saying Watts.
I think it was Watts.
I think
it was Watts.
It could have been Watts because they just talk to Leo.
Yeah.
So.
We'll see. We'll rewatch that segment of the episode. But the point is that now, you know, she knows that they have the relic, that Oz is the one that's leading them, and that they're on their way to Atlas, and they can't be allowed to meet up with Ironwood. So that's, I guess, a bigger setback than she was kind of looking forward to. But before we move on over to our boys and girls, we have a couple of announcements for you guys.
That's right, After Buzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, professional wrestling, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans, but we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more, of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel here at AfterBuzz TV Animation, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. If you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't worry. They're optional. It will tell you when we're live, and if for some reason we have two events, it'll let you know which one we're actually using. But they're optional, but click that bell. Hit that subscribe button now for AfterBuzz TV Animation and check out all of our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments and we'll thank you on air. But for now, thank you for being the best fans and helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk. Now, this would be a place where we go through the YouTube comments. There's a lot.
Yeah.
And we really appreciate it. We're going to figure out a way to properly
shout out people,
shout everybody for sure. out, but it's a lot difficult because we always tend to run out of time.
Yeah. Me too. But we also want to take this moment to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. It is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on, and it also just lights up our day. And we always like to give shout outs to iTunes comments in particular, and we have a couple new ones this week, so thank you guys who have done that.
Yes, we do. We read one a little while ago, but it turns iTunes has been weird in like
it's
placing stuff.
It's real weird about filtering the dates.
Yeah.
Yep. It's infuriating.
Viva More V says, I can't, the full title is really long, but 5 stars. I love this after show so much. I can feel the love of this show and can't wait to hear what the panelists have to say.
Aww.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
From Racer725, love RT and AfterBuzz TV, 5 stars. These Ruby-centric reviews are very well put together.
Okay.
Been listening to the Ruby After Show since Volume 2, and I love that now I'm finding other AfterBuzz shows that I didn't even know were broadcast. Thank you so much for the hours of entertainment. I can't wait to see what comes next, and wish AfterBuzz all the best.
Aww.
And then I forgot who did... Garriott, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Yep. This one's from Garriott. Oh, no, I just read that one. Yeah, it's Racer725. These are the exact same one.
Oh, okay, great. Oh, nice. Yeah, as we mentioned that we have an international audience, and so we like to ask that people put their comments in the hashtag RT Reviews, because those, even though we can't see them in the American one, it does still count. It helps towards all our analytics, so we really appreciate it, and we want to make sure you guys get the shout-out you deserve. So thank you all so much. You're the best. All right, speaking of Oscar, let's go back to where our boys and girls are at.
Hell?
The middle of nowhere. And it's frozen over.
Yeah. I mean, it's but, the deepest circle of hell is cold and reserved for traitors, so,
The...
We come Doppler stereo.
We come to you in surround sound. So
we're sorry.
For me, this opening shot of Oscar crying, and granted, it's not Oscar who's crying; it is Ospin. But you're still seeing a little boy crying, because this person's whole life has just been ripped out and just like shown for everyone to see, and that's not an easy thing to process. I mean, he did it to himself because he refused to tell everyone the truth, but it's still not an easy thing to sort of deal with when your whole life story is laid out for other people to see against your will.
Mm-hmm. And I think that this is the first time in forever, if not ever, that someone has taken his life, collated the juicy bits, and put it down in front of not only the rest of the audience, but him. He had to rewatch his story. All of these awful things that happened to him that he probably doesn't like to think about. Not only is there an audience, but it's, hey, remember this? Let me rub it in your face some more in bright, living color. So Oz definitely, yeah. More mistakes than every man, woman, and child on the planet, sure. But he is also a very tired, very hurt old man.
It was twofold, because it was Oscar had to sit through all of the possibilities that he would have to sit through for his lives, or for his one life, that one life to live. And for Oz, I think he's lived long enough to where he forgot. It's possible that he could have forgotten all of the tiniest little details, and he had somebody more powerful than him rub his nose in it, like, did you do this? You did this, didn't you? This was you.
Bad Ospen.
Yeah, essentially.
I just got here.
Yeah. And Oscar's like, what the crap? Like, why would you switch now? But, yeah.
And yeah, so, and basically right after that, he's getting assaulted with all these questions of like, well, and it's Ruby of all people who's like, okay, Professor, what's your plan here? What's sort of the game plan here? What's the strategy you have to defeat Salem? And he has to admit, probably for the first time to anyone, that he doesn't have one. And then Crow punches him in the face. Now, this was a bit of contention for us a couple weeks ago when we were talking about whether or not we should break Ospin's legs. Crow actually, you know, takes it upon himself to punch Ospin in the face, which, I don't know, guys. I think it's kind of a dick move. Crow's kind of being a dick. So that brings us to the question, should we break their legs?
Break their legs!
I love that so much. Yeah, Crow basically is facing the exact same dilemma we had, where it's like, oh, I want to hurt him, but it's a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Please Clap says, we here at RT Animation do not condone child violence. We do, however, find it hilarious.
Camp.
Yikes! Yeah.
Mark, should we break Crow's legs for punching Oscar in the face?
Oscar, yes, but it also think of the past season and how much Crow has had to deal with Oscar. Not to say that Oscar was in the wrong, because he's learning all of this stuff super fast. He's in the advanced course without taking any of the prerequisites. Say that five times fast. But so I think I don't. It's. I say no because it was completely a mistake. Crow is in that group. He is the most. Well, actually, we don't know about Maria, but he is the most familiar with how these things work, and so maybe he knew a little bit more that I had to make it extra hard so that Ospin would feel it or something. So Oscar specifically, maybe kick him in the ankles. But when it comes to the reaction to
the head.
Yeah, when it comes to the reaction to all of this, and specifically Crow's line is so defeated. It's like meeting you was the worst luck of all. That's awful. That's so terrible. So maybe kick him in the shins a bit, but maybe not break his leg.
This entire bit. Both sides has just been a round of I feel terrible and I'm lashing out. Mm-hmm. And it's everyone going after everyone else, and it is ugly as hell. I'd say one leg. Just one.
He's got a cane. Walk it off.
Crow? No, he wasn't carrying the cane. But yeah, no, I'd say just one leg because on one hand, yeah, absolutely get it. On the other hand, you punched Oscar.
Not a troll.
You punched Oscar.
Not a troll brings up a very good point. He could have taken his rings off first.
And I mean, he punched him hard enough that he sent him flying back into the tree. And we all had that nice little moment where Oz goes, actually, I can't really deal with anything right now. Bye. See you never. And Oscar wakes back up and immediately has to deal with the pain of getting thrown into a tree. Like, we get that immediate consequence of Crow's actions.
Well, no, it's also a physical representation of everything. Of Oz is there, but he doesn't necessarily have to take any of the brunt of it because he can hide. Crow punches him back to the Shadow Realm, and all of a sudden, Oscar's up with a big old bruise on his cheek. Poor little boy.
But, and freaking out about my head, our head, I hate this. Yeah. Just that moment of, look at all of this noise that I have to deal with.
Literally, because people are shouting at him. And without being anything, Oscar still has to deal with everything. Honestly, if there's any... I wouldn't break anybody's legs in this scene. The only other persons that I would injure would be Yang's. And I know she's been through a lot, and her arc has been building up to this. But this is why I wanted to see everybody's entire experience with watching this, especially Maria, because we got a confirmation that she saw all of it too.
Yes.
We didn't see her at all in any of the stuff.
I love the idea of her just standing there open mouth like
interesting.
When I chose to stay behind, I was not expecting story time. I had a point and I just completely forgot what it was.
My bad.
Damn. I think I remembered the point. Everyone is focusing on the fact that Salem is immortal without thinking about the fact that defeating Salem isn't necessarily endgame. It would make endgame much, much easier. But endgame is make peace, call the gods back. Like, that's it. That is, we've returned the call, we've fixed up your starter home, you can come back and live in it now, because the gods are dicks. But, again, we need to put that on a shirt. You know, yeah, that's going to be our next shirt design. The gods are dicks.
Yeah, but I kind of want to make the text, like, phallic-shaped, and I don't think we could sell that.
No, I want, like, really nice, scrolling, beautiful, ornate text
that's shaped
that
like
says
a dick.
The gods are dicks.
Maybe it makes a little dick and, like, one of the curly cues at the...
We can hide it, like, on the Little Mermaid VHS cover. Anyway, the point is that they don't have to beat her. They win via other means.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we're getting to that conclusion yet, because at this point, at no point in that story did it seem like Salem was the type of person that could be reasoned with, so they might not even be considering that as an option. But anyway, you guys brought up a great point. Maria is my new favorite person.
Yes!
definitely the MVP of this episode and just basically sets all of our children straight. She's like, I'm still processing that this is humanity's second time around. I don't want any of you kids making me more cranky, and I'm not going to die out here in the cold. I'm going to die in warm in my bed. So, let's go. And, yeah, everybody's in this very, you know, shell-shocked state, you know. I'm very anxious to see where it goes with Yang, for sure. But we have this quick moment between Oscar and Ruby where he's like, I'm just going to be another one of his lives. And she goes, no, you're your own person. And Crow says,
don't lie to him, Ruby.
Oh, we're better than that.
We're better than that.
That was rough. Swig.
You're not acting better than that. He needs
says the
that,
guy that punched him in the face.
Yeah, he needs that reassurance. I mean, again, there's still time. They have more information. They might actually be in a better position to complete this insane errand now than the past. But at the moment, what Oscar needs is a little reassurance that he's not going to fade into the background of someone else's God's given curse. Like, that's what he needs, and he gets it from Ruby, and then Crow's just like, no, just pull that rug out from under your feet. Maybe break your legs in the process. Mm-hmm. Whatever. We're cool.
Mark, do we have a fun comment?
No, we have fun art. We've got Malachroma edited Tyrion getting hit by the table, Grand Theft Auto style, wasted.
That's pretty great. And so, yeah, the group goes off into the snow, and they come across what kind of looks to be a creepy farmhouse. And that's where we're leaving it for the next episode, and I'm sure there's nothing sinister awaiting them there.
One of my friends commented that the name of the farm, Brunswick Farms, is the location of Hamlin in the Pied Piper poem.
In Brunswick. I thought it sounded familiar.
Yeah, Brunswick, that always sounds familiar.
Yeah, I was like, it felt like a reference that I wasn't getting, mm-hmm. So thank you so much for that.
Thanks, Farley.
the weirdest thing to me is it's a bowling brand. I used to bowl as a kid. So hearing Brunswick, I was like, why do I know that? Oh, bowling. Well, pretty sure they're not making a bowling reference.
Well, there's a city or something called New Brunswick. Yeah. Which is where my brain went.
I would love it if it turned out that inside of this farmhouse was just like Lucky Strike.
Malachroma. Brunswick Strike. Farms comes from Brunswick Green, a shade of dark green.
Ooh.
Well, and Soundwave is in chat, Brunswick Farms, and then three thoughtful emojis.
Ah. Well, on that note, sorry guys, we are running out of time.
You don't say.
We are running out of time. I believe we've all seen the next episode, so let's go ahead and put a pin in predictions for this week. Katie, where can people go if they want to find you?
You can find me emotionally compromised all over the social medias and on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet, that is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you like reactions to these episodes, they live on that YouTube channel, and also I am on an Overwatch podcast called On the Point.
I'm the internet's Mark Budonica. Thank you to, there's a lot of names here that I don't recognize, so welcome everybody.
Thank you all for joining us.
K-pop anime 7392, the Duke of Derps, who was one of the I think that's Garriott, that's one of the people that left the review.
Oh, that's awesome.
King Mars, Kratos Serving, I remember. Randomo24, there's a lot of great people, we love you. If you're listening to this after the fact, join us live Wednesdays, 7 p.m. AfterBuzz TV Animation. I was going to say Animation and Sports. That's a complete... Man, I've had a long day. But yeah, I do podcasts all around the gaff. If you want... I've almost done watching She-Ra, and I'm probably going to talk very much about it on Twitter, which is at Mark Budonica. Follow Stacey at Stacey Shuttles. And we do... we have a gaming channel on Twitch, Inventory Full PT.
Yeah, be sure to tweet her your well wishes. We hope she gets well soon. And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I also do a Lost retrospective podcast called No Love Lost. The latest episode dropped this Monday, so be sure to take a look at that.
Also, our store, tpublic.com/TheRoosterTeam. We had a bunch of people buy stuff over the weekend, which we really appreciate. So make sure to check that out. We've got stuff for all of the stuff. We have a design for everything that we've covered. So make sure to check that out, and we're going to be adding more stuff soon.
Yes, get some holiday shopping done, guys. Thank you all so, so much for watching. We will see you all next week.
Dust you later.
Dust you later.
Dust you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.